Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
I was on mute there. I knew that. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Friday pre-market prep. Spencer Israel, Dennis Dick, Mitch Hotch with you, wrapping up the week this morning. A lot to get to on today's show. We're going to talk crypto being banned in Turkey. We're going to talk David Einhorn had a very insightful letter out yesterday. We're going to talk about that. We do have some earnings this morning from Morgan Stanley. There's some sports betting news I want to get to. We have an M&A deal. And two guests, Marcus Heitkanner, which joined us at 8:35. He is, of course, the founder of Rockwell Trading, joins us every Friday. And Jason Raznick will stop by at 9, CEO of Benzinga. First, a mea culpa on our part. There was actually somebody. We ran the Coinbase opening price contest a couple of years ago, and there was somebody that got the opening price on the button.
Wow.
Anthony Tucker nailed it. He emailed us with a screenshot, and you know what? His guess came in within the five-second delay window from when we cut it off and then when the cutoff actually
went. Oh, yeah. Right?
So, Anthony Tucker, congrats to you. He nailed the opening price in Coinbase, so I have sent him a shirt. We are up this morning.
I need a shirt. I need a shirt right now because I'm wearing this Bush Light shirt. Mitch passed it. He said he liked it. I was going to go change. He's got the heat on. I got the Bush Light shirt. It's the weekend coming, options expiration. I might drink a Bush Light or two somewhere in the shirt.
Okay.
I'll give you a good old tiger fist pump for that.
Okay.
All right, wait. Last thing I want to say for now on the housekeeping front, today is the last day to enter the pre-market prep swag giveaway.
Last day, don't miss out.
Win up to $100 of Benzinga. We're not up to win $100 of Benzinga swag. Click on the link. That'll prompt you to do a few different things to enter the contest. One of the ways is to subscribe. One of the ways is to tweet about it. One of the ways is to enter the secret code, which is haircut. Speaking of which, Dennis, how you doing today?
I shaved. That's good.
Oh, good.
I know. I was starting to really get scruffy looking. Like, the long hair is one thing, but the long beard's quite another. So I'm somewhat cleaned up, but the haircut still needs to happen. So obviously it's been the code secret word all week. So maybe this weekend I'll have the wife give me a buzz.
We need to get that shirt, that volatile puppies, man. Those volatile puppies are out there.
I'm not sure how we express that in shirt form, but we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. No. Dennis, how was your day yesterday?
It was pretty good. It's always interesting. I mean, we have this market that is going two separate directions depending on which stocks you're looking at. And I want to show, if you have that visual, it comes from HF Major Tom on Twitter. He's a good follow. Give him a follow. Showing you what we've been talking about is that the SPAC, the growth, the high PE stuff has just not participated in this rally whatsoever. And look through these stocks. You can see stocks like Plug down 30% this month. Fuel Cell down 34% this month. XL Capital, 25% fall. QS, which we've been talking about, which obviously is in the news here again this morning, down 22%. Nikola down 22%. Fisker, which I was out of for a while, but I rebought. So now I'm actually participating in the downside of this, and I'm not short. So I'm actually losing some money here. Bought at 16. The thing's now at 13 and change. It's down 20% in the last month. Helion, Workhorse, Rye. These were darlings of 2020, and they are not the darlings of 2021. So, I mean, if your portfolio is full of these stocks, it's tough. I've got a couple of those stocks. Well, actually, I think I have one. I have Fisker. But it's been rough. You know, we know Marcus is in Ride. We're going to hear from Marcus later. I mean, there is some areas of this market that are in full bear markets. And then you look at the indices, and they're just relentless. And they just go up every single day. And we know what keeps driving it. It's rotation. Rotation station. We've been rotating into value. We've rotated into the mega caps now because the value trade cooled off for a few days. They're like, what are we going to buy? What are we going to buy to keep the markets up? Well, they buy Apple and they bought Amazon and they bought Google and they bought Microsoft, you know, so they just keep finding different areas to rotate into because people don't want to be in cash. We know that. And that's this market. You know, you can thank the Fed for that, but cash has been trash. It's been pretty much the worst place to be. SPY's been the most consistent place to be. I will say that. It doesn't perform, doesn't go up 50% in a month, but SPY is just steadily climbing, and it has been a relentless climb. I mean, if you look at it from the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 days, we are up 8% on the SPY in the last 12 trading sessions. That is a huge move.
Yep.
You think like a good year for SPY back in the day was 8%. We just did it in 8 days. So if you're coming in stocks now, you need to have some type of a pullback, and you will get a pullback here. Nothing goes straight up. So if you're chasing SPY here, I think you're going to get another opportunity. We don't know when that happens. Today is options expiration. Sometimes it gets the turns on options expiration, but that's still to be determined. So anyways, I talked about my day for the last 5 minutes. How's your day? How was your day yesterday?
Fine. I talked to the CEO of TuSimple, which IPO'd yesterday, TSP. Talked to him on the At The Close show. I had no Joel, so I was like, let me just talk to an executive. How about that instead? I mean, like you said, Dennis, it's really much been more of the same. Nothing has really changed, I feel like. From whenever that moment was when we were starting to get really bearish there, what was it, like a month ago now?
Yeah, straight up wrong.
Yeah, straight up since then. You know what I mean?
Straight up.
So
yeah, I got crushed yesterday, guys. I got crushed. Gotta admit when you're right and gotta admit when you're wrong, right, Dennis? And
what, on this one. What were you in?
SOL. SOL. And I got SOL, let's just say that.
That's good. SOL and SOL. Did you get stopped out?
Yeah, I got stopped out yesterday. I mean, I saved myself, you know, a good 5% by stopping out yesterday. So, hey.
Good for you though, Mitch. I mean, this is what
the rules.
This is what traders, and especially traders who just turned 2020, will do wrong. They will say, how can I take a loser? I'm not going to take a loser. I've never had a loser before. I want to keep my winning streak going of 100% winners. Like I said, at the end of 2020, remember we looked at our long-term portfolios, and I had something like 98%. I had like 100 stocks and 4 were down. I'm like, this is my long-term investing account. I'm like, well, that's ridiculous. I'm like, even stocks that I was down in for years had come back. So, I mean, this is the market that 2020 had given us. Now you're seeing separation. You're seeing some stocks like, you know, the solar stocks. You know, they're just relentless sellers. But if you are trying to call a bottom on something, you're saying that SOL, I think that 10 is going to hold. It doesn't hold. What do? You fold. You get out. You cut your loss. So, Mitch, that trade there, that is how you make money in the long run, by being disciplined and taking smaller losers and not letting them become bigger losers. Because, you know, we all do it at certain times, but in my day trading account, I'm the same way. Very, very, very disciplined. Because in this market, you're not going to survive 22 years if you're not taking losses. I will tell you right now, as a day trader, you will get into a market that is like 2007, 2008, and you will, in all likelihood, lose years of earnings and potentially blow out your account. Seen it again and again and again. I mean, we're prop firm. We see professional traders that are doing this for a living, professional day traders. And if you're unwilling to take losses, you will lose in the long run. So, Mitch, that's a good loss to take right there. That is actually a good trade, even though he lost on it.
And Mitch said he got the idea from our 9 o'clock guest, Andrew Horowitz. So hat tip to Andrew for giving him the idea, or at least putting it on Mitch's radar so we saw it.
Yeah, one of the things that he'd mentioned is that, you know, he saw the turnaround and he was expecting maybe it could come back, but we could clearly see yesterday it did try that washout. It wasn't only in Seoul, so we'll keep an eye on to see if Solar can come back today, but it looked like a nice washout yesterday.
You want to talk crypto here a little bit?
Sure.
Crypto is down. All crypto stocks are down with it. Thank you very much to Erdogan over in Turkey. Not sure quite what's going on over there, but they have banned the use of cryptocurrencies to buy things. You can't actually use crypto for anything, any real world application in Turkey. So Bitcoin stocks.
So we're blaming all this sell off on Turkey.
So,
Why not Bitcoin down? How much is it down?
This should help, not hurt.
I haven't even looked at it this morning. I know I can tell it's down because I see Mara trading down. I can see Riot down. It's funny when you have that whole screen of those 6-7 Bitcoin stocks. You don't even need to look at Bitcoin. You know it's down.
No,
how much is Bitcoin down?
So the futures are down 4.5%. The actual Bitcoin itself is down like 2%. So
I'm still holding all of my Bitcoin. We know I sold half of it back when we got to 50,000, which was a mistake, but I was like, I'm playing with the house's money forever. So I'm just holding the other half. I've said zero or 500,000. I'm not a crypto trader. I'm going to try to stick to that. Zero or 500,000.
You're a crypto hodler is what you are.
I'm a hodler now. Yeah, I'm a hodler. I'm a hodler of other stocks too, though. I'm a hodler of Amazon. I'm a hodler of Apple. I'm a hodler of Microsoft.
You got lumber too, right?
I do have some lumber stocks. I wish I had a lot more lumber stocks because this build is going to kill me, man. It keeps going up. I am like, actually, I guess my builder bought the majority of our lumber a month ago, which is good news. And it's sitting there in the lumber yard. Because obviously my build is going to start next month, and I'm just keeping looking at these prices of plywood, and I'm like, I might have to abort mission here. My problem is we've like gutted the house, and there's like nothing left to the cottage now to even stay at.
There's
not much choice. There's not much turning back here on this house build.
You're in Canada. Hold some gold, man. Hold some gold. It looks like gold is popping back today.
What do you think of gold? What do you think of gold? The gold stopped going down. That's a good thing. Silver stopped going down. It's starting to show some life.
Yeah, look
at this. Is this just a dead cat bounce, or is this something to get excited about? What are your thoughts here, Mitch? Gold.
It's interesting. You know, I was looking at the GLD, and I was also looking at Barrick Gold, GLD. I like those charts. Good turnarounds there. And it's had a 2-day move there. So, you know, it's not just 1-day move, it's a 2-day move. So I'm going to see if the volume can continue today for the GLD, that 170 standing out to me. If we can get above that 170 with some good volume, it could be looking like gold's pushing back.
It's rotation too, Mitch. I mean, we've got this market that absolutely refuses to go to cash. So when they're getting the Beats and something else, and they've bought up, you know, the Apples and the Microsofts, then they're going to start buying other things. So it's kind of like, well, let's look what's stabilized and hasn't went yet. And I think you got that the last couple of days in gold. It was stabilizing. It's like, okay, let's go. So gold doesn't look bad on chart. A little bit of a breakout. So you know what? Gold, silver, I'm going to be a buyer of pullbacks there. I don't have hardly any gold in either portfolio, or silver for that matter. I sold my silver as well, but maybe I want to get some in there on pullbacks. Interested.
I do want to mention on the gold, on the Bitcoin and gold notes, we are doing a debate, special debate today here on the Benzinga stream at 3:30 Eastern time. Bitcoin versus gold. We've got two Bitcoin bulls, two gold bulls. They've done this debate previously. I think the last time they did it was 2 years ago. And they came to us and like, hey, you guys want to do this debate with us? And we were like, sure. So that'll be at 3:30 today. We've got a group. They all know each other. There's a lot of chemistry there, a lot of fireworks. 3:30, Bitcoin versus gold. That'll be right here on the Benzinga stream. So
what a killer segue there. Good job there, Spencer. I like it.
Oh, I'm the man. what else did I want to talk about? Can we talk about this deli, Dennis?
Sure.
Thank you.
This is the Einhorn Deli.
This deli is going ham. You like that?
That's not bad.
Thank you. I can't.
I would have been funnier if it came from Joel, because I expect silly puns from Joel, but
we're missing Joel. We're missing Joel, man.
He's back next week, guys. Yeah, we have to find out how this Florida trip was.
Joel doesn't know what ham means. Anyway, so yeah, props to David Einhorn, for pointing this out. This Hometown International HWIN, this deli in southern New Jersey, that people keep asking me, like Luke was like, can you send your dad there? Can we go there? Like, cause I'm from New Jersey, but like, it's not close. It's outside Philadelphia, which basically might as well be in another country from where I grew up. But yeah, this deli that did 35,000 in sales in the last 2 years combined and was closed for 6 months last year because of COVID, has a market cap of $100 million. Just insane stuff.
Poster child for this market that, you know, obviously there is just speculative bubbles that go. Here's how the markets are working. You know, it's like speculative capital comes into the next bubble, buy, 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 buy. And then they move on to something else, and then that bubble slowly leaks out because there really should have never been trading there in the first place. And then it eventually gets, you know, forgotten. We just keep seeing that money rotate all around. Here's another story that's been going on for a while, but this thing is so thinly traded. Like, this is even a bubble. I mean, this thing's trading 2,000, 1,000 shares a day. So, I mean, this is just not even, it's over OTC. It's hardly trading at all. So I don't even know if you call this a bubble, even though it's went up like this. I'm just looking at the volume. There's no volume on this.
No, there's no volume. But the point is, and this is interesting, actually, somebody from Twitter, nope, not that, this one, the top shareholders are the principal of the local high school and a bunch of Chinese entities. So don't know what's going on here.
Well, the principal of the local high school, that's good stuff.
Yeah,
and keep my hands in the air.
And entities out of China, out of Macau and Hong Kong. So great. This is great.
So this is what Einhorn highlighted in his this was one of example that he gave for irrational exuberance in his little letter to his shareholders.
Yes, yes. There was a lot of good stuff in there, but this
let's talk Einhorn for a minute because I read a little bit of it. I obviously, you know, I skim everything. I give it 2 minutes and then I kind of got my thoughts on it. So I might have missed some details. But overall, what he was saying, I kind of agree with. Yep. I mean, give us the points. Highlight some of the major points besides this deli that's trading for $100 million.
Yeah, well, that was the major point. No, I'm kidding. No, he basically was like, look, there's a lot of exuberance out there, right? And he sort of blamed a lot of the GameStop stuff on a couple major social media influencers, Elon Musk and Timoth Palihapitiya, which I'm inclined to agree with a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that was his point, was that retail traders need to be really careful because there's a lot of weird stuff going on out there and they will eventually lose their shirt. That was, and then also highlighting their performance because their performance was pretty good. But talked about the exuberance in this market and particularly on the retail side, which, you know, and we also just had a family office blow up, which I don't think I mentioned, but maybe it did. I didn't see it. But yeah, he talked about their performance and said that this is crazy. What's going on? There are pockets of craziness.
Pockets of craziness is really what it is. There's a lot of rational trading going on here. And then there's pockets of craziness, and the crazy, like I said, just keeps going around from different stocks, and whether they're social media driven stocks. I mean, the craziness now is in Dogecoin. Obviously, we know Doge has went from half of a cent to start the year or wherever it was up to, what is it, 27 cents or something as of last night? I think I got up to 27 cents Dogecoin.
What is it at right now? It's at 30. It's almost at 31 cents.
31 cents. So, I mean,
now it is at 31 cents.
Yeah, something that was created as a joke now has a market cap in the, $30 billion range. So this is just showing you, like, the craziness and the irrational stupidity of this market. But you know what? Is it stupid? Because people who made money, you know, buying it at 3-4 cents, I mean, you can get on board anything. You can trade technically anything. Would I invest in Dogecoin? No, but could you trade it? I mean, obviously you could trade it. Some people made a lot of money in it. So, you know, maybe I'm stupid for calling it stupid, or maybe I should have been buying when Elon Musk was pumping it at a nickel. Yeah. You know, and that's another thing, too, is what Einhorn was saying. Should Musk, you know, who is a huge social influencer, be buying, you know, Dogecoin and then pumping it up on Twitter? I don't know. Like, you know, where do the regulators say, okay, well, this is just, you know, everybody can talk their book to a certain extent, but nobody's going to move price like Musk. So does he have, you know, a responsibility to, you know, maybe not just add fuel to the fire in the case of GameStop as well? And that was where Chamath and, you know, Musk were criticized by Einhorn, is that they definitely added fuel to the fire where GameStop was going. They're like, oh yeah, we're on board too. You know, Musk saying, like, Musk just tweeted GameStonk. But Chamath actually took call options positions, you know, throwing it out there. So everybody, you know, basically copies them and they're like, oh, Chamath, and let's go now. So, I mean, it's a tough, you know, it's a cross between freedom of speech and, you know, completely talking your book and trying to talk up your positions. I mean, it's tough. So
yeah, and also I want to correct what I said earlier. The Einhorn's performance was not great. Greenlight's portfolios overall fell 0.1% last quarter, so underperforming the index, and their short portfolio did not do well last year either, which he talked about. Also called out the regulators a lot. He called a lot of the regulators for, like, doing basically nothing about what he perceived as irrational exuberance, which again, we're inclined to agree with. And on the point about Chamath and Elon, I think I've said this before, but Josh Brown had a great thing and I wish I could find it. I don't even remember if it was a podcast or an article or blog he did or what, but Josh Brown did a thing. This is like a few months ago now, sort of after the peak, after the GameStop peak, but while it was still pretty hot. And his point was like, these guys are not your friends. And that actually extends to anybody, any influencer, us included, right? Like, but especially the billionaires, right? Chamath is a billionaire. Elon's a billionaire. Not your friends. Not your friends. Don't blindly follow anybody, right?
They're doing may not be for you.
Their interests are different than your interests. Chamath is out of Virgin Galactic. Why? He said it was to fund a new global climate change initiative. That was what he said, but we don't really know. That's just what he said. But he's out. And if you're holding the bag in Virgin Galactic, that's on you, right?
There are so many stocks like Virgin Galactic. It's just a matter of, again, hot story cools off, value investors say no thank you, momentum investors like Christian Fromhertz say no thank you, and there's no buyers. And that's where you get these pullbacks that are very, very vicious. So, again, you know, all these stocks that we even showed on from that list from HF Major Tom,
yeah,
it is possible. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if we're back, you know, and it's, you know, some of the, you know, we're taking some of the best hits from, like, you know, the 2000 tech bubble crash. This is how it went down. It wasn't, again, I said this yesterday, but I just want to reiterate it for new listeners. This, the tech bubble crash in 2000 didn't happen overnight. It happened over the course of almost 2 years. It was death by a thousand cuts. You come in, your stock was down another 3% the next day. And then it'd be down. And then it rallied a little bit. And you're like, oh, there's hope. But no, then it kept continuing the downtrend. Exactly what space has done. You know, space has just quietly lost 60%. A lot of those stocks back in 2000 went to zero. A lot of those stocks absolutely went to zero. You're going to see some of these stocks, some of these SPACs. I will predict right now, some, not all, but some of these EV SPACs are going to go to zero. Not, you know, like $1, not $2, no, to zero. They're going to be worthless. There's going to be some that are going to be worthless. So if you're in these and you're getting levered up saying what's got to come back, not all of these plays are going to come back. There's not going to be 200 EV makers. A lot of these are concepts and the concepts might not work out. The mania is over. The mania ended. It ended back in February for a lot of these things. So the story isn't driving them now. It's now bag holders driving them down. And actually probably some people who are short saying, you know, okay, well, space doesn't even have any revenues yet. Let's get out. We loved the space story last year. I was long space, but at a certain point when they start to break down, you just got to get out. The only one that I'm really still somewhat convicted in is Fisker, and which is why I refused to sell it here. Why I rebought it. I did sell it because it just got overdone, but why I rebought it because they've already got the pipes lined up. You know, Magna's going to produce the cars. You're going to see Fiskers on the road. It isn't a concept anymore. It's like it's coming. The Fiskers are coming. And I do believe the Fisker will be, not going to be a Tesla, but it's going to be a competitor. And I think there's actually going to be revenue coming. So I like that one better than like the rides and, you know, the MPs and the million other concepts that are out there. But, you know, an MP maybe, I'm just saying with the SPACs, you know, comparing it to it. But, you know, do your fundamental research. You know, if you're very convicted on your position like I am in Fisker, you know, maybe you hold some. But again, don't ever put like 100% of your equity in one stock. Stay diversified. Like Fisker, even though I'm convicted in it, is less than 1% of my overall portfolio. Why is it so small? One, it is speculative, which means I'm going to take a lighter position than normal, where I look at something like an Apple or an Amazon or a Microsoft. Like I believe like, you know, Apple is like probably 2% of my overall portfolio. Google might be 2%. Amazon might be 2% as well. Yeah. You know, and I've got like 100 stocks. The small speculative ones are like fractions of a percent because you know why? Because they don't hurt me overall. But if they hit, they can really help the overall performance. I automatically assume if I got 10 speculative stocks, I kind of think like, you know, 6 or 7 of them may eventually be next to worthless. But there's going to be a couple that are going to be okay. But if you have 10 speculative stocks, and there, you know, we go into the speculative decline, which is what is happening right now. You, even though you're diversifying different speculative stocks, you're still in speculative stocks, and they're all going down overall. So it's not enough to just have 10 speculative stocks. You need to have some blue chips. You need some value, some core. Diversify that overall portfolio. Trading, you can do whatever you want. Just stop yourself out. But if you're building a long-term portfolio, don't put all the same kinds of stocks in there.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great point. And let's not forget, what was like the one of the biggest gripes against Tesla for like 5 years? It was, oh, well, the production, when can they do it? Can they produce? We don't know. That was the biggest, that was one of, if not the biggest gripe on Tesla for like 5 years. And it looks like now they're finally past that. But it took them years to answer the question of, but can they scale their production? We don't know.
Yeah.
Now you have the exact same question on literally every single one of these other companies. Because we just don't know. We just don't know.
Well, and it was the burning of the cash. Tesla was burning cash for so long that people said, they're going to eventually run out of money. They're not going to be able to do an offering. They're going to run out of money. They're going to run out of money. This was the bear thesis. I mean, we had some very big people on this show coming on and saying Tesla is a zero. I never believed that because I believed at a certain point it was going to get bought out, which is why I was comfortable to write the puts. And me and Jeremy Newsom both said the same thing. We were discussing over dinner one night and we're like, look, I think even if, you know, this was back, you know, 2 years ago, I said, even if Tesla, you know, is burning cash, I think eventually somebody would just buy for the technology at a certain point in time. That's why I was comfortable to write the 100 puts long term and get 20 points for writing the 100 puts. And we're talking pre-split. So that's like the $20 puts, you know, that I was writing 2 years ago. And Jeremy Newsom writing the same thing, that I was like writing the bankruptcy trade. I talked about it on the show. I said, I don't think Tesla goes bankrupt. I don't think there's any way it goes bankrupt. I wasn't the firm believer that it was going to go to $4,000 like Kathy Wood called, but I believed it wasn't going to go bankrupt and I got paid for that. But, you know, I would have been better to just turn around and buy the stock. I just couldn't remember. I could never stomach Tesla. I was like, it was so in that range for so long. It's like, oh, I'm up, you know, 10%. Now I'm down 10%. I was watching it too much and it was too distracting. It was like a babysitting, even though it was in my longer term portfolio for a while. I was like, I have to look at this too much. It's like it's taking too much of my attention. And that's distracting me from where I can make other money. So, I mean, if you're going to stock and it's taking all of your attention, you're just trading that stock. I mean, you know, I'm doing a lot of other things. That's obviously costing you money as well if it's taking up all your trading attention.
Yeah.
So you got to consider all those factors, but that's me.
Yeah, it's a great point you make about diversification. It's why, you know, like I own ARKW, one of the ARK funds. It's like 4% of my overall portfolio. And all these smaller ones, they're all like 2 to 4%, 2 to 5% of my overall portfolio. The big holdings are in the S&P, right? That's how I do it. So, okay, maybe we should use this opportunity to talk about QS a little bit. There was a short report against QS yesterday. They responded, full disclosure, I didn't have a chance to look too closely at the short report. Did glance at the response from the company, thought it was pretty generic, but for all we know, the short report was generic too. I don't know. I didn't look at it, didn't have time really, but it was down yesterday. I'm sorry. Yeah, it was down yesterday. And then you can see the 15 minute chart on QuantumScape. But this is one of those show me stories that it's going to have to eventually either show you or not. And for now, it's out of favor in the meantime.
And it broke major support. I mean, if you're hanging on to this thing, this is a complete technical breakdown. Now it has to get above 40 to get interested again, because then you could say the Gil Morales cut through and rally could be in. So if this got back up over 40, I'd be like, okay, now I'm interested because we got the Gil Morales cut through and rally. If this does not get over 40, it's absolutely a no touch from the long side. And it actually could be a short, as long as if you were shorting the stock, you would want to stop yourself out above the 40. So, you know, I have no position on QuantumScape. It's a wild stock, which requires babysitting as well. Yep. I just look at this chart though, and I see a technically broken stock.
Yeah.
And here you are, you know, it's obviously, I don't know if they have revenue, but they probably, you know, if I looked at this on a multiple perspective, I don't follow the fundamentals closely enough, but I know all these, they're still concept stage. Maybe there's some real product here, but at the same time, it's probably trading with a ridiculous valuation nosebleed. I haven't looked at it, but you just know they all are. So I it's a no touch for me under 40.
Let's bring on our guest, our first guest, Marcus Heitkotter, joins us every Friday from Rockwell Trading. Marcus.
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
Good. How are we doing today?
Doing great. Had a great week. Other than ride, I mean, jeez, oh, Pete. But you see, this is exactly to your point. I mean, you got to diversify. If I had only Ride in my portfolio, or I had Ride and Neo and Fisca and Lucid, I mean, I would be in a world of hurt. Yeah. But I have a total of 6 positions. I personally don't like to be diversified with 100 different positions. I like to have 5 to 6 positions. It's easier for me. So this is where I could show you. What do you bring up? Oh, yeah. Okay, let's talk about Ride for a few minutes. Why not? Right? So tomorrow is the big race, the San Felipe. So they presented, you showed here on the screen, the truck. They're participating in the race. But you see, honestly, I don't think that there will be a huge upside to this. There will be a downside if this truck goes up in flames or breaks down after the first 2 miles, right? The stock might drop. But honestly, right now, Dennis, you just said it. They need to produce revenue. I mean, the hype is over right now. The hype was over pretty much when I got in. So, yes, congratulations.
We all make mistakes.
Nailed it. Nailed buying the top. But hey, we have all done it, right? So I'll show you what I have in my portfolio right now. So as you can see, super diversified. Apple, tech stock, Disney, Penn, Play, they are somewhat correlated, I want to say, then Ride and Schwab as a bank here. And as you know, what I like to do is I like selling puts. And obviously this week when overall the market is just going up like crazy, right? I mean, here we see the S&P, you said it just up, what was it, 8% in the last few sessions. Yeah. This is, of course, fun, selling puts. So let's just talk about this. Apple is actually a position where I was in some pain because I sold 133 right here. You know what? Let me switch to the iPad. Then it's a little bit easier to draw on there. There we go. So Apple did go against me because I sold the 133 put right here. And as you can see, it went all the way down to, 116. So it went pretty decent against me and then went up, went down, didn't go anywhere. Right now, it's coming out of the hole. So this is where I always said it's the lazy boyfriend sitting on the couch, not earning any money, because while this is hovering around here, it's not earning any money. Well, guess what? He got a job, and not only a part-time job. He is bringing in more money right now. So this is where I sold the 133.75 call. And by doing this, I'll be called away. This expires today. So I'll be called away. I'll probably make another $1,500 on this stock. And Apple thus far has been pretty good this year. So, total profits for this year, a little bit over $65,000. Apple will tack on another $1,200 today. Bring this up to probably close to $5,000. So that's not bad at all. So Apple has been going well. Disney, let's actually take a look at this really quick, what I did here in Disney, because I did sell, 5 of the 182.50. So let's move over. So here, the 182.50, I should probably label it that we can easier see it. So the strike price, again, selling puts of 182.50. And this is a trade that also expires today. So if it stays above 182.50, I could just keep the whole premium. If it drops below, I'll get assigned. And you know what? I wouldn't mind owning Disney. I think with the reopening of the parks, I mean, Disney for me, it's a value stock, right? I mean, this is where Apple, you have a value, we have a tech stock. Disney for me is a value stock. So just to show you what I did here. So let me just quickly check. I sold 5 for 95 cents. Okay, so this is 5. Contracts at $95. So this is here. It's not too much. Where's my handy dandy calculator when you need it? There, I can do math in my head. Can you do 5 times 95? I can. The good news is, so there's hope for everybody who is bad at math. You don't need to be a genius in math to actually make money with trading. That is not required.
I'd probably just round it up and say I made around $500.
Yeah, around $500. Yeah. So exactly. So Penn, and this was just a few days trade. So I've been in this, as you can see, for 4 days. So my goal is per position to make $100 per day. And I can show you the math of why that is. Because this comes out then to around $15,000 per month. If I have 5 positions and I make $100 a day. And the $15,000 a month for me is enough to cover my living expenses. Anyhow, this was Disney, and Disney is fun. So Penn, let's take a look at Penn. Penn actually sold the 95, and I do believe that our Gwenter, did I go a week out? No, it's also expiring today. Okay, so I sold 11 for 85 cents. So this were, let me just write it down here. So sold 11 contracts for, geez, I already forgot. You guys, this is early for me. This is Austin, Texas here. Right now it's 7:30. I can't retain a few two numbers in my head. Okay, so it's 85 cents. So sold for 85. So this is looking good. This is what... Then it's giving me the round numbers. Around $900. There we go, 935.
Which strike did you sell on Penn?
The 95. I sold 95. The 95 strike.
So you kind of grab a level of support that you see on the chart where you think it's going to hold, and then you go from there, right?
Yeah.
Is that where you kind of start?
Yeah. So first of all, I'm looking back over the last 8 to 12 weeks. So I want to see that there's support over the last 8 to 12 weeks.
Yeah.
And then the next most important question for me is, do I want to own Penn at 95? Because honestly, if the answer is no, I don't want to own Penn at 95, then I would pass on this trade. Because ultimately, I might get assigned. I mean, if Penn chooses to drop today, which it could, right? I mean, it could drop to 90. It had some quite crazy days, as you can see here. So this is where I need to see, do I want to do this? And that's where I often look a little bit further back. Let's actually move to the next one, Play. So with Play, I sold the 41.50. And this is where I went back and I wanted to see Play, Dave & Buster's. How did they do pre-pandemic, right? And so here we had the pandemic hit them. And pre-pandemic, I see, you know what? They have been really good in a range between 38 and 60. So if right now, if I would get assigned at 41.50, I would be okay owning Dave & Buster's at 41.50 because it seems that... And I'm just a purely technical analyst. I don't know anything about fundamentals here. So I'm not smart enough to dig through balance sheets. They don't make sense to me. There's too many numbers that don't help me make a decision. So I just look at the chart and I say, you know what? If traders and investors liked it at these price points before the pandemic, they probably like it right now after the pandemic, right? I mean, so markets have a memory. That's my philosophy. Not saying that is right, but it served me well.
That's an interesting way to look at it. And, you know, we've done a little bit of that, but looking before the pandemic and after that, if we think we're coming out of the pandemic, well, let's go grab the levels, you know, because we're past this. And obviously, we know 2020 was, you know, a tough year for a lot of companies, but they're back. And, you know, if you look at those stocks and look at the supports that they had before, if you think you're post-pandemic, it's an interesting way to go grab your levels.
Yeah, and well, especially if you look at Dave & Buster's, right? A reopening stock. What will happen if we open all the restaurants again? I mean, we're all sick and tired of sitting at home, so they might actually see a boom. Who knows? But I'm not a long-term investor. I mean, this is like Apple. I was in Apple for a couple of months, maybe. If we zoom back in there, when I got my 133 assigned, this was back mid-February. Okay, so now it's mid-April. So I was on it in a couple of months. So I'm not a super long-term investor. That's so here's the deal. A long-term investment for me personally, a long-term investment is a short-term investment gone bad. And that's right. A long-term investment is a short-term investment gone bad. Hey, and this is what I'm right now. Let's just talk about
Marcus's really quick honesty. I love Marcus's honesty. Hey, he's got to be the most honest guest that we have on this show. He's so transparent. He comes and he shows you what he's got. And he shows you and he talks his strategy. This guy is, he's the most honest guy we've ever had on the show.
Hey, Marcus, don't be like Ed Lampert, who let a bad trade become an investment and then become his new career as the CEO of Sears. All right.
So I'm not planning to do this.
Don't let a bad trade become a career.
Yeah, but let's talk about Ride. And I mean, we talked about it. I took this trade because I was bored. I was stuck in Florida during the ice storm that hit Texas here. Yeah. And I was stuck in my RV and I took this trade and this was just plain stupid. And the market is right now punishing me every day. It is torturing me. It's torturing me and just say, okay, you never trade again because you're bored. And I mean, this is a lesson that, sometimes the markets have to teach you a hard lesson. So I got assigned at 21.50. I sold more puts. I brought my cost basis down. So my cost basis at 16.10. I made a little bit over $6,000, I believe. Let's just put it $6,800 by selling puts and calls at some point. So this brings down my cost basis by another 70 cents. But yeah, this is where I'm in a world of pain. As you can see right now, unrealized profits, $63,000. And this is where, honestly, I don't think that the stock will move substantially before they get binding orders. I mean, all this stupid crap about, Elon Musk is a genius. He invented the non-binding orders. Hey, put down $100 on a Cybertruck, right? Or $1,000 for a Model 3. And it's so easy to walk away from $100 or $1,000. That's really not a big deal. And this is why I think, yes, maybe it will help this weekend, the race that they're participating in. It might pump the stock up for a dollar or two. I don't see it substantially going above 12. So this is where I'll probably be in this trade until September because this is where when they are supposed to start producing and actually selling. Now, here's the good news. This is the account that I'm trading here. It's $250,000 in cash, $500,000 in margin. And if you look at the capital requirements, you see it on the right-hand side. I mean, Ride is eating up around $30,000 of my buying power. So it's not really right now that I have, Dennis, you said it earlier. If you're all in this, that would be bad, right? If I would be all in electric vehicles, but here I still have plenty of other stocks that I can get in. Play is actually eating up 40,000 of my buying power, Penn 26,000. Disney 16,000, so you get the idea. Anyhow, so that's what's going on this week. And I want to see if I could see this race tomorrow. I think it's on ESPN2 or something like this. I want to see if the truck gets at least off the starting line.
Yeah, it's a tough race. It's a tough race. We'll see if it can make it to the end. That's really, I think, what everyone will be focused on. Can it make it to the finish line? It doesn't need a win, but if it can make it to the finish line.
I'm not quite sure if that is really important, because think about it. They're built as commercial trucks. I mean, do they really need to drive 130 miles through the miles an hour for 250 miles through the desert? But I think it needs to do reasonably well. It needs not to explode, yeah, and it needs not to go up in flames. And it actually needs to be able to make a little bit more than 10 miles.
I would agree with you there. I mean, seeing as it's veterans in this vehicle, please let's not injure these veterans here.
Yeah. Wait, Marcus, so a couple of your positions, or most of them, are expiring. So I expect we'll have some new trades to talk about next week.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is where I don't know yet. We need to see what the markets are doing. Let me just see what they do pre-markets. Okay, pre-market, the markets are up again. I mean, so S&P futures are up 0.2%. NASDAQ is 0.3%. It's always a little bit more challenging to find good positions when the markets are up, because when you're selling puts, you get more premium when the markets are going down. So yeah, I'll see what pops up on my scanner. So I have my scanner that I run throughout the day where I see that something pops up. So this is where yesterday Schwab popped up. Schwab reported earnings. They said that their costs were higher than expected, right? So eating into their profit margins. This is where Schwab was just yesterday. It was down, 2.8%, which for Schwab is a lot. And it was a great opportunity to quickly sell a few puts and see if it bounces back. I mean, this is where, you talked about Cathie Woods here. She likes to buy the dip. Warren Buffett has been selling puts for many, many years, where he said, hey, I want to get into a stock at a certain price point, so I'm selling puts until I get there. And this is how I view this strategy, because if I would just sell puts, then I would have to consider rolling them every week if I don't want to get assigned. But you see, Schwab, I don't mind owning Schwab. I don't mind owning Disney. I don't mind owning Apple. I do mind owning Ride. I mean, this was just stupid.
Yeah. Well, they cannot be winners. Marcus Heitkotter is the founder of Rockwell Trading. The link is up on the screen, rockwelltrading.com. Guys, smash the like for Marcus and his hair. We appreciate it as always, sir. Talk to you again next week.
All right. Have a great weekend. Watch the race. Right. Buy more Ride.
Not an investment advice on that one. All right. If funny one from GWS there in chat, I heard here he heard that Nikola is going to be pushing their truck through the race, which I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if that helps. Let's talk sports betting here for a second. The NFL announced overnight or yesterday the first wave of partnerships, sports betting partnerships for them. They chose Caesars, DraftKings, and FanDuel. So those three all trading higher, at least yeah, in the pre-market section.
Hey, if you don't know, DraftKings won the March SPACness on SPAC's attack, man.
DraftKings did?
Well, yep. DraftKings with the winner.
It would make sense because they were one of the originals, right? And they actually have like a real business. So.
It's been one of the only SPACs. Like a lot of them have really been hit, but DKNG has held on better than the others. I will say on this NFL contract, I mean, look, there was three named, right? Caesars, DKNG. Yeah. Who's the other one?
FanDuel, which is public. It trades OTC, but it is public.
No. This stock is kind of breaking trend. The stock looks toppy here to me as a head and shoulders. From a technical basis, this looks like a relief rally to sell. So I tweeted last night too. I think DraftKings is the kind of stock that is out of favor in this market right now. It's a growth name with a high multiple, and they're just not in love with those names. I do believe that if they start to pile into the growth names again, DraftKings was one of the first ones they will pile into, but we're not seeing that yet. That's why I would probably be more inclined to sell this rally as opposed to buy this rally. So I'm selling the rip on DraftKings, at least on paper.
I'll give an opposite view here.
We have a market.
Nice. I would say here that what you're going to see is revenue by revenue, state by state, coming in and giving them the lift that they need. So every time that I've seen it come down and try to break, you could draw a closer trend line to it too, but I'm going to be looking for a pullback closer towards 56.50s, and then I'd like to see it get right back above. I have put out in on SPAC's attack, I think DraftKings at the end of the year, you could easily see it over 100.
It depends if growth comes back into favor. There's an overall rotation. If growth comes back into favor, I would get on board with DraftKings, could eventually be making new highs. Just with growth as much out of favor as it is right now, it's the kind of stock, as a short-term perspective, it's the kind of stock that would probably fade in a pop like this. So we'll see. Long-term, nobody knows.
We got a little lunch bet here. Well,
there you 50, go.
50 or 70? Well, what are you taking?
Oh,
the
there
50?
You go. I'll do it. $50. I'm calling. Whoa. $50 on DraftKings.
I'll take 70.
There we go. We got a lunch bet going on. I don't know if we'll ever be able to have lunch together because the borders are closed. You're in the U.S. and I'm in Canada. And actually, I guess they're talking about we're in lockdown, if you didn't know, in Ontario. But they're talking about curfew now in Ontario, too. That's being thrown out there. The schools are closed. They're all virtual. We are basically shut right down here in Ontario because of COVID, and they're talking 8 o'clock curfew too. But if I eventually we ever get past this COVID, we'll be having lunch together. We just don't know who's buying yet. So 50, 70, mark it down, Spencer. We got a bet.
I'm feeling like a lunch bet here.
All right. We got
where'd Joel come from? Oh my goodness. He's here. He's hiding in the background. Where's Joel? He's looking over my shoulder. Joel. Hi, Joel. How's Florida?
He never left. He never left. That's the truth. He never got on the plane.
Joel's swimming right now, guys. Joel's just swimming. Taking a swim right now.
Living the dream, man, while I'm in lockdown.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple other
where did my life go wrong?
Yeah, please, please, everyone is healthy.
We're doing good.
Your
life
fine.
Is good.
Yeah.
I wish I was in Florida, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or somewhere other than lockdown Ontario.
Hey.
We're 35 degrees outside right now.
Wait, don't worry. I got snow too. I got snow too, Dennis.
Really?
Yeah, man. It's snowing over here in Denver, in Colorado.
You got
Springs.
The hills, though. You can go do some skiing.
Yeah, that's always fun. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Wait, Dennis, do you just have flat everything?
No, actually, that was where I was in Windsor. Now that I'm up in Georgian Bay, there is hills up here too.
Okay.
So we do have ski slopes as well. Although I'm at a point now where if I go try skiing, I'm probably breaking my legs. So the old bones happening here now. I'm only 40. I don't even know how old I am. I have to ask my kid. I'm like, how old am I? I got to do the math, and I get the candy dandy calculator like Marcus. Born da da da. I think I'm 44.
We have to do a pre-market prep ski trip, I think. The Aphria Tilray merger is good to go. That was just a vote on this morning by shareholders and approved. So Tilray, Aphria merger there. Some other headlines on my radar. We have an M&A deal this morning. URI, United Rentals, is buying General Finance, ticker GFN, for $19 per share in cash. So again, URI.
It's trading right to 19. You ring the register and you move on. It's like when Glue Mobile got bought out. You ring the register and move on. Some people think, oh, it's going to get a better bid. Maybe I'll stick around. But why? You know, most of the time they don't. Move your money somewhere else where it's going to make you more money. Congratulations on the 56%. book it and move on.
What else did I see? PTC's up this morning, announced joining the S&P 500. Also, LSCC, Lattice Semiconductors, is joining the S&P Mid-Cap 400. Both of those stocks trading up this morning on those headlines. Also, Splunk, the CTO, is out. This one continues to be a laggard. You can look at the daily chart there, just continuing to underperform.
Yeah, some of the growth tech names, you know, we've given some hate to some of the other names, obviously, the more concept stuff, even some of the high growth names, they've been hit hard too. We've talked about the Fastly's and the Splunk's as well, although they've stopped going down, which is good news. I mean, you've seen this, but again, if we start to go down, it's like these stocks that lead the charge down. So I try to play the Fastly. I got stopped out on Fastly. It was the undercut and rally. It got me on that one. Yeah. Teladoc worked out. I tried to play like four or five growth names that last week, and I had a couple of them worked out. A couple of them I got stopped out on, and a couple of them, like Fisker that I bought, which I thought might hold the 14, did not. Now I'm looking at this thinking, oh, I'm in trouble here.
Speaking of Teladoc, Spinner dropped this tweet into the Benzinga.com chat, and I want to pull it up here. These are the stocks that have a lower market cap now than Dogecoin. Teladoc, Bed Bath, Datadog, Etsy, Unity Software, Slack, Zillow, MGM, Stoneco, right? I mean, Doge.
This is all just epic stupidity. It's but
my biggest call of the year, man.
Doge?
Biggest call of the year.
Yeah.
Are you long Doge?
The best calls you do, you probably don't take the money. That's what happens. I was instead of buying it that morning, I was telling everyone on Benzinga, let's write some articles up. Let's get this out. I have that feeling. It's going, baby. Yeah. And that was only at 70% right there. That day alone, it went 700 from there. It's been in the thousands percent. I had to stop looking at it because you get the FOMO, and the FOMO can hurt you. So that's why
you jump in by the top.
Yeah, that's why I'm just like, okay, it was just a call. Stay back. And
I mean, Doggy Coin, Bitcoin, Ether has a purpose at least now, which is why I'm liking the Ethereum better. But I mean, this is all just story. It's story, story, story. When the story cools off, the thing ends in tears, but we don't know. Bitcoin, though, is more than that. Like, I think Doggy Coin is still just a story, but stories can remain hot for a long time, and it's a hot story right now. It feels like this is upside capitulation. It feels like, you know, this is it. When you're telling me it's got a bigger market cap than all these tech stocks, it's like, okay, the joke has gone far enough. But I've known I don't bet against these jokes.
I take issue with your classification of Doge as a story. This is not a story. This is a joke. There's a difference between a story and a joke. This is funny.
And again, we call it Doggy Coin on this show. We don't call it Dogecoin. It doesn't deserve the Doge.
It's called
Doggy
Coin. It's Doggy Coin. Get it right, Luke Jacoby.
Doggy Coin.
This is a joke.
Try to rename it.
This is a joke, and everyone is in on the joke until they're not, right?
I want to do a little shameless plug here,
What do you got?
Hey, guys, check it out, guys. We got a brand new channel, Benzinga Clips here, guys. We got a Doge Coin clip up there. My man,
Doggy Coin.
Drew explaining the Doge Coin. Is it going to $1? Check out the video, guys. It's on Benzinga Clips. I'll go ahead and I'll put this link to this video
who's explaining that?
Drew, who runs our TikTok.
Drew!
The dankest memes ever.
Drew thinks it's going to a buck? Or we won't we'll just tease it. We don't know what he thinks.
Yeah.
Check it out, guys. Hit the subscribe.
Yeah,
join the Benzinga Clips.
It's where we're putting all of our short-form content, so check it out there. You can find it from the main Benzinga YouTube channel.
None of my money will ever go. Not 1 cent of my money will ever go into Doggy Coin.
Oh.
Not as a trade. Not as investment, nothing. I did say that about Bitcoin at one
live
point.
Live a little, though. Live a little. Come on.
I'm living a little in Bitcoin. I'm still uncomfortable because that's just a story as well.
All right, fine, whatever. Do we care about
it's option expiration here?
Yes, that's a great reminder.
We do have significant buy and balances across the board. They have been there all morning. We know on options expiration, all it takes is one big institution, a couple big institutions to say, you got them, and they could all flip to sells. But right now, I'm seeing huge buy and balances across the board, especially in the banks. The banks are showing strength here. We got TLT quietly. This is quietly down a buck and a quarter here now. TLT is starting to get whacked here a little bit. So that, you know, could be concerning for the market after the open. I'd be cautious buying this tape. If TLT remains weak, We know it, QQQ has been kind of dragged along with it to a certain extent. So we got the Qs going the opposite direction right now, but nobody's talking TLT. We're giving back a lot of yesterday's rally here. If TLT stays weak, expect banks to be stronger. Expect utilities and stuff like that that has a positive correlation to be a little bit weaker. And I would expect the tech stocks, which we've been seeing, to maybe show some weakness as well. So I would not be surprised if Qs roll over after the open. We have, obviously, options expiration jacking up the open right now. I actually think it might be a good shorting opportunity if the TLT stays weak.
You mentioned the banks, Dennis. We did have Morgan Stanley earnings, and they were good this morning. They beat on the top and the bottom line. Said all their Archegos losses were in the Q1 earnings report, so they're past that now. Fixed income revenues up big year over year. What else did I have here? Can we go to the Morgan Stanley?
Nice recovery there in Morgan Stanley.
Yeah, fixed income.
They got smacked on the number.
Fixed income revenue up 44% year over year. Institutional securities revenue up 66% year over year. And like I said, a big beat on the EPS and the sales. So a good report there from Morgan, which dropped, but they bought the dip on that. So
yeah, they bought the dip quickly on that.
Quick.
Yep. Yeah, it had to be out there. I looked at it. It was actually traded just initially higher for the first like 30 seconds, and then they pulled the rug out from under it. And I actually thought about getting down and dirty or like 79 and change, but I didn't. So man, it would have been good because it's up at 81 again.
You see those wicks to 79? Whoever had that order out there? Whew.
Yeah, right.
Well, you got to get it. And you got to get it printing through you too. So if you're sitting at 79, you never get the low print because the market makers always seem to step ahead of you somehow at the bottom. But if you're 20 cents up from the low print, you can get printed. So
let's do
difficult to buy at the bottom in this market.
Let's do a few tickers from chat. Where's Raz? Raz is not here yet, is the answer.
And it's option expiration. I might miss Raz here because I got to go at 9 o'clock because I got a lot of positions on and it's option expiration. This is what usually my best days of the year are options expiration days. So I absolutely can't stay late for you guys. I wish I could. I wish Raz was here. If he leaves, need to leave in 2 minutes. So quickly here.
Let's get these likes up to 500. Yes. I'm going to also bring some Google Trend data if it gets to that level. I mentioned the stock yesterday. It's already up 5% from the call. A lot of it has to do with Google Trend data. So if you guys want to see that, want to see those likes jump up to 500, let's go ahead and get Raz on
right now because I want to know what the stock is.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, and here. I have a whole watch list off of this, so it's going to be interesting.
I liked what's the
eight
stock?
Or nine stocks. Let me get there. 396. I see 409. 500. We're almost there, guys. 409, guys. 409. 427. Can we get the break of resistance here and get the watch list? I already have it ready to go. I got
Playboy Google, made new highs yesterday. Too.
Google data here for you guys. Smash the like button.
All right, I'm gonna bring up that chart, Dennis, since you just mentioned it, because I've gone a day or two without looking at it. So here's the.
This is the NFT play. I'm gonna say I've said it. I'm gonna keep saying it. Every dip keeps getting bought. I think it needs to get a pullback here, but you know this is, I believe, one of the ultimate NFT plays. I really do. So.
You know what?
I wish I had it. I'm really ticked off myself that I didn't buy this.
You know what's interesting is every trend has a winner. There's lots of winners, but then there's going to be one big winner.
I think this is the big winner.
Tesla, obviously the big winner for EVs. It's looking like this is your big winner for the NFTs, at least for now. As it doesn't matter how much or how little sense it actually makes, this is your winner.
It makes a lot of sense to me. Playboy and Muds. Snap, Crackle, Pop in the chat saying, I like Muds too. I like both of these on pullbacks. They won't stop. They haven't stopped. I'm hoping for a significant pullback so I can get in these things. But the pullback just doesn't come and they keep going. So I got to stop looking at them because the FOMO is going to get me here, Mitch. Like you were saying, I end up chasing these things. I buy to be the top. So I have no position in either of these. I want to be in both. Mitch, you're at 500. What's the stock, man?
All right, all right. We hit it. Boom. Over 530 likes there. That's what I wanted to see, guys. Definitely appreciate that, guys. All right, so let's look first at the watch list. I just want to call out some tickers really quickly, and then I'm going to go into the Google Trend data before Jason comes on here. you know, because, you know, I don't know, you know, Jason's going to tell me to, you better push off, boy. All right. So first things first, guys, the stock that I'm actually going to pull the most and what stock is up 5%. I got you right here, Dennis, ULCC. This is Frontier Airlines.
What?
Why?
This? Oh, they just went public.
Yes. Yes. They just went public.
Yeah.
Just went public in March.
I fly these guys all the time.
Yes, yes. It's the discount airlines, and it's, I'll show you the trend data right now, but it's up already 5% on the day. Another couple that I'm looking at, guys, Yeti, Home, CWH, NKE, Overstock, Pola, some other ones to mention that is really on my radar, ELY, Callaway Golf.
That's Jason Raznick pick.
Yes, yes.
We're coming to golf back. Season. Seasonality there. I like that.
Seasonality. Pick. Exactly, exactly. I'm going to show you guys why seasonality comes into play. This is the camping. This is a camping search. And the, over 5 years, look how the spikes come, guys. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's called cyclical right there. If you want to see cyclical, this is cyclical. And so where does the middle happen? And when does the trend breakout happen? Usually right here in April, guys. Look, April. Mid-April is when we start seeing the trend break out to the top, to the peak. Where's the peak happen? That's another important thing. July 1st to July 7th. Why? July 4th, guys, right in that week. So there you guys have it. You guys got some cyclical data there. You guys can go off of that and find some plays. And let's go ahead. Let's look up another one that I wanted to take a look at. Really quickly, I want to mention the cruise lines is in once. More in favor right now, looking like Carnival Cruise and Search versus Royal Caribbean. And if you look at the state by state, that's when you really start seeing it. It looks like a Republican chart, but don't worry, Royal Caribbean is not a Democrat here, guys. But Florida is really close, 52 to 48. But look at Texas, another major cruise place, cruise location where they come out of. 69% of the searches are going to Carnival versus 31% of Royal Caribbean here. So definitely to me, Carnival is the choice there in cruises. I'm going to keep rolling here. Keep rolling, guys. Yeti starting to start trend back up off the bottom here. We're going to see if it can get spiked up there into the 60s and 80s. That's what we'd want to see right now. We're at 45 seasonal play with camping. Let's go ahead and get to our Frontier Airlines data that I really wanted to show here, guys. And this is the pick that I did that I've been seeing, guys. And look, this is over 12 months, right? Sideways action. Finally, right here, guys, after January 2021, we started spiking up. Now we're into the 80s, the 90s, and now it's hit 99, pulled back and right back to it, guys. 99 up there, trending at the highest it's been for the last 12 months. That's why I'm calling this stock. That's why I'm saying airlines, Frontier Airlines here, discount play. It's in majority of the locations are going to be Colorado, Florida, and Georgia that their planes come out of. So just to give you guys some state-by-state data there.
Yeah, that's
great. I want to say hi to Jason for 1 minute. It is option expiration. You're late, Jason. I would have been here with you, but I have to go. Because this is option expiration. This is my big trading day of the month.
I'm in New York. Getting the kids out of the room so it'd be quiet in here is a harder feat than I could ever imagine. So,
I could believe that one.
Oh, you could hear my wife yelling and then the neighbors knocking, banging on the wall. That did not happen today, only because I don't think there's any neighbors next to us.
So the ones two doors down heard you instead.
Yes. Yeah. Spencer, I'm not going to argue doing that one.
All right.
I'm going to pass the torch to Jason, though, and let him take over. I'm going to keep him on, though, and be listening to you, Jason, while I'm trading. So I'm going on mute. Have a good trading day.
And we'll be with Dennis. You. I love you.
We love you too, Jason.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Right. So trying to raise my thing so my double chin doesn't show up as well. How are you guys doing, Zinger Nation? Good morning. It is time for the Jason 10-Minute Roundtable. We're here to give you the trades. We're here to make it happen for you. This is what we do. I love Mitch's Miami Heat jersey today. It's festive. He's wearing Miami Heat because I don't think you guys know this, but the Miami Heat have a coach named Eric Spoelstra. Mm-hmm. When the Pistons were playing Miami Heat back in the day, Eric Spoelstra was a video coordinator. One day, I'm in Birmingham. He's in Birmingham. We're in a parking lot. We start talking. I got to mute this. And we start talking. And I'm like, what do you do? He's like, I do the video stuff. And I'm like, oh, it's amazing, you know, whatever. And he's like, no, I mean, like, I'm like, do you want to be the coach? Do you want to, like, move up the ranks? He's like, dude, I'm happy just keeping a job. You know, and this is when he's video coordinator. His dad worked at a Ford assembly plant. I talked to him for a good 35 minutes. Again, this guy was the video coordinator. Then he becomes the head coach. I bet you if I saw him, he would remember our conversation because we talked for 40 minutes. I lived in Birmingham at the time, Birmingham, Michigan, and we just shot the shit. Well, we haven't caught up. So one day I go to the Piston game, and I my friend took me to the Piston game. He has courtside seats. So a Spoelstra is, you know, walking off the court. I'm like, watch Ryan. He knows me. He'll know me for sure. So we go to the thing. We get to the end of the thing. I'm like, Eric, remember me? He didn't look over.
Yeah.
It's
not a rad story if it ended with either no response or it didn't end with no response or just sort of like, you know, ignoring it. But
yeah. Hey, but I like the key that you mentioned there. Guy working up straight from the bottom. And honestly, from literally the bottom, doing video just to get that done, to get sports to the coaching level that he got to. I mean,
yeah,
that's called building.
And Mitchell, you're a good color commentator because, yes, you're right. He wasn't like, I'm aiming to be the coach. What he did was he went into work every day and worked hard. If you remember, Pat Riley was there and they needed to, like, you know, change things over. And Eric was there and he worked hard. And you know what he was? He was like an unassuming character. He didn't have this big ego. He just went and did the work and worked hard. He was such a nice guy. I'm telling you, I talked to the guy for 35 minutes. I know exactly where he's sitting. And by the way, if we did see each other in a different environment when he's not walking off the court and I reminded him of the conversation, he would remember. We talked about his dad. We talked about what I was doing. He would remember. But it was like in that moment, yes, when he didn't stop and talk to me, my friend, yes, it was an embarrassing for me, 100%. I thought he would like see me and like, oh, my God. But of course, if he's a lot of people, I needed more of an opportunity to remind him. One day, he was at the Townsend Hotel. That's correct. One day, I'll interview him on the Power Hour, on the Raz Report, and we'll talk about it. That's what I'll do one day. Okay.
Well, make sure there's a story in the meantime. Well, what stocks are you watching today, Raz, or this week?
Yeah, oh. Did you catch my Google Trend data?
No, I did not. What happened?
Oh, you would like it, man. I'm looking at some outdoor plays that you mention all the time, Yeti.
I've seen that. I saw that. What's Yeti at right now, boss?
It's not looking bad. Let me pull it up.
Yeti right now is at $85.
Fuck you. Sorry.
Yeah, I feel that too.
There were tough in here.
I'm sorry.
That's
sorry.
A rip.
I'm sorry, Spencer, but I will share my account in 1 second.
Don't you watch the show? I
understand. Oh, yeah. I know Happy Muhammad's gonna get pissed right now. I understand. But let me clear my throat and show you what's up. Yeti's at $85. Okay. Share my screen. Let's show.
Pre-market nothing.
Pre-market nothing. What are you talking about?
I was seeing if there's any pre-market trading. There isn't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you stay ahead of the breaking alerts. All right. Here's the Razman. Yes, I call myself third party. Razman. He buys Yeti at $200. Let's make it bigger. He buys Yeti at $200. $28. Then Razman sells it because he's a schmo. Then he buys calls, and that was good. Then he bought 300 shares at $42.43, sold 50 at $49, and sold the rest at $49.50. That is why I said F you.
I would love to hear what your opinion is on my top pick that I just mentioned, ULCC Frontier Airlines.
This is definitely a Jason stock for sure.
Yeah, so I'm for it, man. I'm honestly for it because – I own the Jets ETF. I own Delta. I was on Delta. They got some new planes. I was just on. The planes are crowded. The traveling is happening. The restaurants are booming. I'm for it. I got rid of that one. I'm in a couple other ones, but you know I love Spirit. We got Spirit. Yes, we do. We got Spirit. How about you? But you guys, we got. Yes, we got to move to something else though.
Okay.
What do you got for us?
If you're in this room, what stock pick have I been talking about in the chat? What stock pick have I been talking about for months? What stock pick?
Oh, there's a lot, man.
Upwork, Fiverr. No.
Mitch, Spencer, let the guys do it.
I'm guessing around.
Oh, you can do that. Fine.
Guessing around. Put some ideas out there.
Which one have I had a high degree of confidence in?
I'm trying to remember what you haven't sold. Like, you sold the taste.
You of course, sold. RKT. You know,
well, people have. Okay, Rocket. Everyone's writing it. I looked up, guys. Everyone.
Rocket.
Daniel Webcoin. No, Daniel Webcoin, prime suspect. DDD. I said there's one stock you had to own. And if you did not own this stock, there's something wrong with you. Because I said there's one stock you have to own. I go, this is my friend Brian. When my friend Brian gives me a stock pick, I buy it, no questions asked. I had him on the show, BTN, BTN. So BTN took off this week, took off. And we broke the stories on it too. Benzinga broke stories on it. BTN, look at this, up 78%. It's my biggest position I've ever bought in my life in terms of, I don't think there's options on it. So I bought BTN, the biggest position I ever purchased in my life of a stock. I bought it at 270, 240, 250, 260. I mean, I'll even show you.
Here's a chart.
Just yeah, big rip.
Breakout city.
Hold on. We're going to do it this way. Are we sharing my screen? I'll share it one second.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay. I know Central Israel isn't like this. Ryan Faluna just texted me. Doesn't he know I'm on the air?
Probably not.
Why?
I don't know.
He needs to be watching.
He's not watching.
Okay. That's his problem.
Yep.
That's his loss.
Smash that like.
Subscribe.
Oh, wait. We have to remember to play the video, Mitch. Don't forget.
Yeah, let's do it. We got something special.
Play this. Right. Wait, before you do the video. All right, guys, BTN, look how I trade it. Jackass Jason, it's a new name, Jackass Jason. He sold 6,000 shares, but then he bought at 247. Then he bought at 249. Then he bought at 251. Then Jackass Jason came around again. But then he got back in. He's like, what is Jackass Jason doing? So then 250, 270, buy 1,000, buy. I did my options exercise, but I have more options. As you can see down there, I have September's and then buy, and I haven't sold a share. So look at that. I kept my conviction. I kept buying. And at the same time, I told you guys I was buying. I told you this was one of my ones that I didn't have to think about. And you have to understand, if you have the Benzinga Pro premium product, I give these things, but I don't have 100% picks on every pick. So there's some picks, like I bought Spirit Airlines. I love it. And I'm up 40% on it, but it was one where I had a little bit less conviction than BTN. Upwork, I had the same conviction as I had on BTN. Same conviction on Upwork. Same conviction on ExpressSpa. Those, this is not helpful. Okay, Brubby. All right. I'm sorry. Wait, BTN does have options. I'm sorry. I should have bought more options. You're right. I should have bought more options. That was a mistake, right?
In hindsight, yeah. But you already had the common, right?
A winner's a winner, man. You can't be mad.
But my losses are, but I mean, look at you're talking.
If your losses are too big, then you just got to worry about position sizing.
But you're talking about right now your Frontier. I got killed on some airlines. Look at these airlines I'm getting killed on. They're not moving like the way. Let's see when we Trip. Look at Trip right here. I'm getting killed on Trip.
Yeah.
I'm down to 14%. So do you think TripAdvisor can come back?
Yes, I think TripAdvisor and Trivago can come back. But the problem is that they're definitely downtrending right now. So it's going to take a little bit.
Yeah. Which is the one that was weak even before COVID? Was that Trivago? I think it was.
Trivago.
Yeah, Trivago. Yep.
Yep. Yeah, that was one on my radar.
That was weak before COVID. So that was...
So let's talk about what stocks to buy now, right? Like what do we want to do? Buy, sell. What do we want to do? Right? Like, what do you, Mitch and Spencer? What is the community talking about? I'm going to tell you my picks, what I bought yesterday. But what is the community talking about?
Well, Mitch just gave a few picks before he was on, and I actually do agree with the Frontier Airlines thing, because it's a new player in the game, and people are going to want to say, okay, well, what hasn't gone? What hasn't run? Well, Frontier hasn't run because it hasn't had the chance to run yet.
Got it.
I think it's
part of like why I picked Fubo. Good timing on the IPO. Right. Timing is so important on an IPO. People don't understand how important that is to play into the story. So they didn't come out last year, guys. They came out this year. And I think that's important too, because that just shows that they're trying to get that vaccine sentiment, that sentiment come back into the company at the right time. So that's why I'm keeping an eye on it. One that I'd mentioned, it's more expensive, probably too expensive for a lot of us to invest in, but Booking, I think they really adapted. They're not so focused on their hotel side of the business. They're more focused on competing with Airbnb. They have some, their vast range over the whole international market can give them that lift. I think you see booking through that 2,500 price point.
Okay, so yeah, and I've been a long time a booking guy, but let's what I bought yesterday or didn't I've owned and I still believe in, and I'm down on it, guys. When I show my BTN being up, you guys, I'm not a cherry picker. I'm a radical, candor, transparent guy, and that's just one I went big on, and it worked out. So here are a couple that I'm down on. I'm down on six. You pulled up in the Benzinga Pro screen, whoever owns the investors.
Yeah, what do you got?
SIX. I'm down 6% on six. I don't know. And guys, don't go buy six. I'm not trying to talk my book. I'm not trying to move the stock. I don't care if anyone buys it. I just want to go to the six. Thank you, man. So I don't see Mitch and Spencer how six is not at 60. You can quote me, video me, clip me. I don't see how six is not at 60 come August. I don't see it in any which way unless there's a huge corona breakout again and people don't get their vaccine. But other than that, six is at 60.
I'm just going to compare that to fun real quick because it's the same damn business.
I agree with you there, Jason, 100%.
I mean, six is at 60. I have a small position, but I'll get better. Okay.
Look at SeaWorld.
Yep. Seas.
SeaWorld. I don't even know SeaWorld's a company.
Yeah. Seas. SEAS.
Yeah, I mean, it's all the same business, right?
Don't do SEAS. Wait. I mean, if it's what I think it is, is it really SeaWorld?
It really is SeaWorld. Yeah. It really is.
Right, I guess then fine.
Yeah, I have a chart right here. Look at this chart.
What do you think it is?
Look at this 1 week chart.
I did not know that. Okay. So, yeah. So, six is going to should move on that. I thought it was something else, Spencer, that is like a dead NASDAQ that actually wants to buy Benzinga. So, that's why I was like, don't do that.
Geez. Okay.
It's not we're not doing the deal anyways. I'm not.
All right.
I don't think you want to be a public company CEO, Spencer, do you?
No. How no? You think I want to answer to people like me? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Puerto Rico, that doesn't sound too bad.
No, that we're doing. That's a done deal. There is Benzinga will have an office in Puerto Rico come June, guaranteed.
I speak Spanish. I'll run it.
Do you really speak Spanish?
Yeah, claro que hablo español. Tú no sabes eso.
All right.
Vas a tener que emprender.
All right.
I understood that. I understood that. He said to buy Doge. You got it.
The dogs come barking, right?
All right, so I got a couple more stocks real quick, guys.
Yeah. Let's do it. Which ones?
I know it's going. So this is going to be the most controversial pick I have because I'm a big eater of Wingstop, and it's down 7% since I bought it. 7%. I'm down 7% on Wingstop. So I own it still. I bought more shares yesterday.
Wasn't this stock ripping based off of like a song or something like that? It was like lemon and pepper wings with rappers or something.
It's always been an expensive stock for some reason. When you compare this to like other restaurants, Wingstop has always had a really high multiple. Wingstop and Chipotle and Shake Shack are super expensive restaurant stocks. I never really got why. And Jason said he likes the stock. He likes the product. But this has always been I'll zoom out for you. I mean, look at Wingstop in the last few years. It's insane.
Yep.
So loving it.
Nice. So last night I went and got Krispy Kreme donuts.
Krispy, you didn't send me any.
Wait, what?
Come on, man.
I got it for Zinger Nation. Zinger Nation. And if you guys
want our own custom donut, I want a custom donut, man.
I'm in New York in Midtown today. And if you want, or if you want a track jacket, see, look at that. Okay, look at track jacket. Boom. I have a lot of hoodies. Ooh, track jacket. Okay. So I got the Krispy Kreme thing going. All right. Couple more things. So that Wingstop I bought. Let me show you what I executed on actually.
Okay.
The transparency. We need transparency. Let's see what I bought because what I bought says a lot more than what I sold, right?
Hey guys, let's get to 1,000 likes. Let's go. Let's go. Let's bring this up, guys. We're at 639. Let's go. Let's get to 1,000.
Here we go. I'm gonna share my screen again, and that's what I'm gonna do. All right. If you guys love the show, press one and slam the like. You know, I know some people already slammed the like, but so all right. Here's what we go. Oh my God. You have to give us $20 if I didn't make weight. You're right, Brett Dorfman. I did not weigh in today. All right. What's the deal? I have to give $20 to each person if I didn't make the weight? I forgot about that. Oh, shoot, Brett Dortmund. I cannot eat those wing stops. Someone needed to remind me that. Okay, so I got to weigh in. I know I was 211. I got to weigh in if I'm 208. I'm here in New York. I don't have a scale. Okay, let's talk about I'll buy Doge. I'll buy Doge if it gets 1,000 likes, whatever you want. Okay, so I'll buy Doge. So here's what I bought yesterday, guys. Wingstop, because I was hungry. I bought Wynn Vegas. I should have bought Caesars, Mitch and Spencer. Wow. Caesars has been taken off. I picked Wynn because I want to put the Wynn in Vegas. And Wynn, so I picked that. I sold some Voyager yesterday. First, I got into this VISL because of another podcast that loves it. It's been the biggest loser of a stock that I've ever had. Like, it's down 50%. So someone said I was cherry picking my winners. No, I don't cherry pick my winners. I actually talk more about my losers than my winners, to be honest. GAN, I sold at the highs, but I've sold more now at the lows. And then I bought more Delta. And then I sold HOFV. I don't know why I owned Magnite, MGNI. I'm trying to own a little bit less stocks. I have too many stocks. I have too much stocks. So I'm trying to get rid of some stocks. So I got rid of that. And then Mogo as well. So that's my account. That's what I'm doing right now. I don't have a pick for you to say, go all in. Yes, six. How is six not at 60 come August? I don't know. So I own six. If it goes down 10%, six, Mitch and Spencer, I will buy more six. That I can tell you. So if you want to, you know, I'm telling you I'll buy more six. And yes, you have to, James, you're probably right. Wing growth is maybe priced in. You're probably right, sir. Here's what I would say to you. It's okay. I like the company. I want to own the stock. That's it. They're franchises. There's my friend Brian is a food expert, like the franchise expert. There's a lot of states that Wingstop's not even in. There's a lot of growth ahead of it. That is my take. The amount of margin they make per store is substantial. So because of that, that is why I bought it. There's definitely a bunch of regions that Wingstop is not in. It has a good brand. So Vegas, Wingstop, GAN took off to a number. I own SGMS. I still like GAN. Don't get me wrong.
Jason, yeah. I have a question. What do you think about Roof? What do you think about Roof? Roof's Hospitality Group.
Oh, R-U-T-H. I got you. I know that's a hard word to say. Roof's like roots. I get it. Okay. What's it at? $7 something right now? What are we
talking 25 about? Off of support there, hanging out. Right. Has a lot of restaurants under its belts. I mean, you're talking 150 fine dining restaurants.
You know what I've also liked? I've liked, not for any real reason, but ARKR, which is ARK Restaurants. Which is
ARK Restaurants. There you go. I didn't even know that existed.
Not associated with Kathy Wood in any way, but people might think it is.
That might happen. They might attach it. Okay, so, how did they even get away with this?
I'm pretty sure ARK Restaurants was around before ARK Invest. But.
All right. Luke sold Voyager because he's nuts. Okay. That's why. Okay. But this ARK Restaurants, I just talked to Kathy Wood a couple days ago. Oh, yep. Neil's in the wait. Okay, I have a couple asks, okay?
Yeah. So
I'm wearing this track jacket or whatever you call it, a hoodie, whatever.
Yep.
If you guys listening to the show, this is Spencer's. This is me doing promo now. So I'm doing promo now. If you want to mute me, feel free. Dennis, mute me because I'm doing a little promo. If you're listening to the show, please, even if you don't have an E-Trade account, even if you don't, go to E-Trade. There's a contact us. Google E-Trade, contact us, hit it. Ask if they have, say you want your Benzinga news because it's faster, it's better. Put attention Chris Larkin or attention Dave Keir and say we want our Benzinga news. If you do that and you send a screenshot, just take a screenshot, you know how to do that. Send the email to powerhour@benzinga.com, powerhour@benzinga.com.
Neil is in the description. Link is in the description. Oh, yeah. Link is in the chat also.
A screenshot to powerhour@benzinga.com. We will send you great swag. You, your kid, if your kid wants a Benzinga jacket, just give us your sizes and your address. We have a lot of swag in our office. Souza, Neil will be on in a minute. We know it. Souza, we know you like Neil. We got it. We see it right there. So I see you smiling, Souza. Neil will be on in a minute. Oh, someone took your screenshot off. I don't know why, but whatever.
Yeah, that was me.
Okay. Hater Spencer. Spencer don't like you, Souza. I don't know why. So please, E-Trade, you can send, say, Chris Larkin or whoever. We would appreciate if you
don't say Chris Larkin or whoever. Just say Chris Larkin or, you know, Deary Trade. Don't say or whoever.
That's true. Or David Keir. But yeah, that was a good point, Spencer. Thank you. You don't say or whoever. That's
I'll say or whoever. Yeah, please.
So to Mitch's question, though, I didn't answer it. I copped out on it. And I hate when people do that in interviews. I like Rhys Chris. I like it a lot. I would probably be a buyer, but what I'm really shocked at, Mitchell, is that it's at 25. I had this at $7. I got out of it. I owned this at $7, so I was shocked. I didn't swear because I already used my swear jar. I didn't swear, but that is Rhys Chris. If you believe that we're getting out of Corona, if you believe that, you literally, okay, God, Doge. I own my Doge. I'm buying Doge. So I just bought some Doge. Does that mean I get likes? Do I need to prove it? What do you want? We need likes. We need subscribes. We have 86,000 subscribers on Benzinga's YouTube. If we don't get to 100,000 in 10 days, we have to cut out 4 shows a day. So whatever it takes, set up 10 accounts. We don't care. Please, please, please give us some likes. Give us some love because we love you back.
Hey, Jason. Jason, do you want to see what some of our guests, what nice things some of our guests have said about us?
Yeah.
I tell all my CEOs, this is a very, very, very important platform. And look, all the other platforms are important too, but you're up there now. You're way up there.
Best investments you can do in your future is actually go and re-educate yourself on credible sites and credible resources like Benzinga. You guys have been killing it.
The comments section on this show is remarkable. Like the quality of the combo, and just big shout out to you and your community.
So I love about you guys, you know, you just had all your coolers in right then. And it's all about the community here at Benzinga.
Okay.
You guys heard it.
So
hit that like.
So that is awesome. What I would add to it is Zinger Nation. We have some crazy nice comments from Zinger Nation. I would take like 60 of them and put them like in a scrolling thing, Mitchell, if you can figure out how to do that. Zinger yes. Nation, write some comments. We'll screenshot capture it so we include you. That thing is awesome, by the way.
Hey, well, I'll give a call out to the chats. If you guys want to be included in that, nail it in the chat right now.
Or do whatever you need to do, Mitch, but that'd be so sweet to include Zinger Nation because we're here because of you guys. You know, Gary V's cool, but Nick Malucci is a lot cooler. Happy Muhammad, a lot cooler. And the guy that ripped me earlier that said I wasn't helpful with my picks from last week or 2 weeks ago, you're a lot cooler, you know? The haters and the people that say nice things are just as equal. You know why? You know why, Mitchell?
Why?
Because...
He wasn't prepared for you to say, yeah, why?
No. Okay. Because they're here. They're talking about you. I mean, Spencer, if they're not saying mean things about you or talking about you, then you're worthless. LeBron James has people that love him and hate him. If LeBron James wanted everyone to love him, Spencer, he'd come out and just say all nice things, not be controversial at all times, okay? He wants that. It's part of the game. It's part of the game. And a lot of guys here at Benzinga don't realize that. It's part of the game. You have to have both sides of it. And that's what they
maybe,
do.
Maybe one day we'll do a special where we share all the crazy, crazy things people have said to us, good and bad.
Yeah, that's true.
Insane things.
We should do a show with that. Read that one guy's email that wanted a job at Benzinga, that letter.
That's what I'm talking about. That's one.
No fear.
One of many examples, some crazy things we've gotten.
But the more you talk, the more you do stuff, the more you give opinions, you know, the more people – Vegas is a good question. You know why I go negative? Because everyone is haters, like in general. I looked at Spencer Israel 3 days ago. He slacked one of our colleagues, and he was talking shit about me. And he didn't know I can read everyone's slacks. And he was talking shit about the Raz man.
I don't remember that, but all right, if you say so.
I'm just kidding.
Deny.
I'm just kidding, Spencer. I'm just kidding. I just made that up, okay?
Hey, guys, if you guys want to see me do more of these clips with Google Trends and give you guys some story that I'm looking at so that you guys can find some trades, definitely check out Benzinga Clips. Benzinga Clips is where I'm going to be putting these on, guys. I'm going to have my own playlist so you guys can watch these. Definitely become a subscriber, Benzinga Clips, guys.
All right. And we're
And you guys, you guys, give Benzinga Clips a follow, a subscribe button. It's a new channel. And Hurt Scrambler, do your stuff. Let's go.
We're open. Smash the like. We're open. Everyone have a great rest of your day. Jason, you're punching the screen, and I'm going to get you off now. Remember, today's show sponsored by Rockwell Trading. Go to rockwelltrading.com/.
You wish, Spencer. You're never getting me off.
That was pretty good. Excellent. If you're listening via podcast, please remember all the information from our show is meant to be used as informational purposes, not for investing or trading advice. Everyone have a good rest of your day.